It's amazing, isn't it, when you look at the speaker's roster and you say, oh, I'm due in 2 months' time, and eventually it comes. This is the time. I want to talk this morning about developing your friendship with God. And the resource material are the scriptures and the Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. Remember, I spoke from that book last time. But I shall also refer to a chapter in the book Count It All Joy by Helen Rose Veer, who was a medical missionary in the rainforests of the Congo in 1953 to 1973. And the text that supports this developing your friendship with God is when Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. That's not sacrilege. That's what God calls us. And he wants us to call him our friend. For everything Jesus says that I have heard and learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Your relationship with God has many different aspects. For God is a holy God. And that's essential to remember. God is your creator. He's your maker. He's your judge. He's your redeemer. He's your father. He's your savior. And so much more. But the most shocking truth is this. Almighty God, who put the stars in their orbit, yearns to be your friend. In the Garden of Eden, we see God's ideal relationship with us. Adam and Eve enjoyed intimate friendship with God. No rituals, no ceremonies, no religion. Simply friendship, companionship, and harmony. They walked and talked and laughed together in the coolness of the day. We were made to live in God's continuous presence. But after the fall, that ideal relationship was lost. Only a few people in the Old Testament time had the privilege of friendship with God. Moses and Abraham were called friends of God. David was called a man after God's own heart. Enoch walked with God. But fear of God, not friendship, was more common in the Old Testament. When Jesus changed this situation, when he paid the price of our sin on the cross, the veil in the temple that symbolized our separation from God was split from top to bottom, indicating that direct access to God was once again available. Unlike the Old Testament priests who had to spend hours preparing to meet him, we can actually approach God anytime. Friendship with God is possible only because of the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The word for friend in this verse does not mean a casual one, but a trusted and close relationship. The same word is used for the best man at a wedding. There are six secrets of friendship with God which we can discover and enjoy after we have asked Christ into our lives. And here, if I can just skim through briefly these six secrets that Rick Warren suggests. First of all, we must have constant conversations and contact with God throughout the day. Your relationship with God needs more than attending church once a week or even having a daily quiet time. Friendship with God is built by sharing all your life experience with Him. One day, remember we had a Thanksgiving service here, and it was Roy Traynor's Thanksgiving service. And after that, there was a reception. And then I had to go and take the vacuum to get repaired. Now, I was away from home for a good 6 hours. When I came back, Sheila was depressed. I said, "What's the matter with you, Sheila?" Well, she says, "I haven't spoken to you for 6 hours. Where have you been?" And I'm sure God says that to us through the day. "Where have you been? You've never spoken to me for 6 hours." We must learn to have a continuous, open-ended conversation with Him throughout the day. That is what is meant by praying without ceasing. The classical book, Practicing the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence, a humble French monk in the 17th century, was able to turn even the most common and menial task, like preparing a meal or washing dishes, into an act of praise and worship and communion with God. And that's what we have to learn to do if we want to develop our friendship with Him, like it was in the Garden of Eden. He said the key to friendship with God was not changing what you do, but bringing God into what you do. That what you did previously for yourself, you begin to do for God to demonstrate His glory. Now, for many years, I was the chief gardener for this church. I've given it up now. I've handed it over to two very able young men. But when I did my gardening, I did it deliberately and consciously with the best of my ability in order to give honour and glory to God. That was my dynamic. That helped me to work beyond my own ability. And I felt closer to God when I was picking up weeds more than I felt it when I was at a prayer meeting. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go through our day inviting Him into everything. But remember, you do not practice the presence of God just to feel good, but you do it to do God. To do good. The second way of establishing a friendship with God is to meditate on His word. Now, did you know that a cow has two stomachs? Right. Well, it chews its grass just a few times, and then it puts it into stomach number one. And it does that all the morning, chucking it into stomach number one. Now, in the afternoon, when he wants a siesta, he lies down and gets all the straw and the grass into his mouth again, and he chews it and chews it and chews it over again until it becomes a liquid. That's called chewing the cud. And then it goes into stomach number two. And that's what God wants you and me to do when we read his word. He wants us to go through it. And sometime during the day, to regurgitate it and think about it, to meditate upon it. When I worked at the registry office, I had some very difficult professional exams to pass. And I had very rusty, dusty, difficult to understand textbooks to read. I would read them through once. One of them was all about the constitutional law of Great Britain. I used to read it through once and I couldn't understand it. Somebody in our house group said the other week, I've read the passage, I've read the Bible and I don't understand it. Well, that was like me when I was sitting my exams. But I had to read the passage again. I had to read the chapter again. And after five times of reading it, it clicked. And I understood what the lecturer was talking about. And that's, if we want to develop our relationship with God, we've got to meditate and ruminate his word throughout the day. David said, "Oh, how I love your law, I meditate it all day long." So, if we want to develop a friendship with God, we must have a constant conversation with him through the day, and we must learn to meditate. The third secret is knowing the liberty and the power and joy of repentance and forgiveness. One day, I was out with Sheila and Wilf and Winnie. And I can't remember what led me to say it. But I happened to say that the one thing that I enjoy about married life was coming in from a hard day's work and having a nice hot meal prepared for me, for which I've had nothing to do in preparing. Now that was meant as a culinary compliment. But if Sheila was up here, she would say otherwise. Because she thought what I was saying was that was the only thing. But that wasn't so. And when we got home at night, in the afternoon, she was so disgusted with me. She said, you don't know how that hurt me. And she said, even Wilf and Winnie agree with me. And Wilf is going to speak to you. And Wilf did speak to me. And when I realised what I'd said, well, I said, Sheila, I apologise. She says, you're not apologising. It's not in your eyes. So what could I do? Well, I'll tell you what we did, the pair of us, we stopped speaking to each other. And I'm not swearing, but it was hell. It's like being in a silent movie. And when bedtime came, it was even worse. The silence and the resentment was deafening. Sheila was sleeping in the North Pole and I was sleeping in the South Pole. And I thought to myself, if I don't sort this out tonight, it'll be another day of hell tomorrow. And we'll not be able to have our quiet time and our prayer time and our Bible reading together tomorrow, because you can't possibly have your quiet time with someone who resents you. So I lifted myself from the bedclothes and I said, "Sheila, can I speak to you?" She says, "What do you want?" I said, "I have a responsibility, and it's the most responsibility God has ever given me. And it's even more responsible than preaching and teaching in church. He's given me the responsibility of meeting your deepest needs." Now I said, "I'm failing to do that. Will you please tell me how I can fulfill this duty?" Now for 5 seconds, the earth ceased to rotate around its axis. And then a hand came out from under the duvet towards me. And I grasped it. Nothing was said, and we fell asleep in love with one another. And that taught me the joy of repentance and forgiveness. And that's what we've got, that's the relationship that we have with God. If we do anything wrong and we hurt him, there's the opportunity to say sorry to him. There's the opportunity to start again. There's the opportunity to know his forgiveness. And we must understand that and know that and practice that in our lives. Because we all fall short of his glory. We all make mistakes. So that's secret number 3. Constant relationship with Jesus through the day. Learning how to ruminate God's word. And knowing the joy and the pardon and the liberation of repentance and forgiveness. Number 4, I must choose to obey God in faith. I must choose to obey him even if I don't understand why I have to do the thing he's asking. And this is a story from Helen Rosevere's book, Count It All Joy. And it's from the chapter, Can You Give Thanks? And Helen Rosevere was a missionary in the Belgium Congo for 20 years. And it was during the time of the civil war between the Simbas and a corrupt Congolese government. And this incident took place during the rebellion. One night there was a knock. It wasn't a knock, it was a banging on the door of her home. And when she went down to investigate it, there was a horde of savages, Simbas. They rushed into her house. They threw all the books from the shelves, all the crockery from the cupboards. They were looking for something. They couldn't find it. And so they went out. But the leader of the group came back. He had a revolver loaded with bullets. And he pointed to her cheek and said, "Repeat after me, Patrice Lumumba is the saviour of the world." And he says, "If you don't do it, I'll empty these cartridges into your body." And everybody that was in the house cried to him and said, don't kill her, whatever you do. When it didn't work, when she refused to say that, he dragged her down a corridor, belted her so she broke some teeth, knocked her on the ground, and savagely raped her. And whilst this was taking place, God spoke to her. And he said, can you thank me for this? Can you rejoice in this? She said, I can't. Well, he said, I am trusting you with this, that you'll interpret in a way that gives me glory. And that was strange for her, because she'd always been taught that she had to trust God. But now she realizes that God is trusting her. He says, can you trust me in this, that it'll work to your good? And she said, yes. Now, 20 years went by. And she's speaking now in Australia at a huge conference. And it's half time. They're all having going for their lunch. And she's walking into this other room, and a young girl stops her and says, can I speak to you, please? She says, yes. And she takes her into this quiet corner. And this dear girl tells her the saddest story. She says, this was 5 months ago. My 2-year-old son walked into the garden and got drowned in the garden pool. And she said, all my Christian friends told me that I must learn to thank God for this. And she told them, she said, I can't thank God. And they said to her, that's because there's sin in your life. And that was when Helen Rose Vere got hold of her, embraced her, and told her in detail about when she was raped. And she said, I believe God is saying to you what he said to me. Can you trust me? Because I know what I'm doing. Can you thank me for that? And the girl said yes, and in tears, she prayed to God and thanked him for what had happened. And that is something that we have to learn as Christians. If we want a continuous friendship with God, we must realize that his purposes are beyond finding out, yet they're all for our good. The next secret is we must choose to value what God values, because God is a holy God, and we must embrace his values. A fortnight ago, I was walking across the town hall square, and I bumped into two Mormons. And they stopped me. And they said, are you religious? And I put my hands on their shoulders. I says, I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my being. And I said, I love you too. And you know what they said? Thank you for saying that. We shook hands and went our separate ways. Now that is one of the values of God, which is the highest of them all. That we love God with all our heart, and we love one another as we love ourselves. There's no greater value that God has, because he's enshrined it in the first commandment. And Jesus picked it out and said, not only must you love God that way, but you must learn to love one another, even those that disagree with you. And I want to thank God here that has given me that ability. Now then, what else is there to say? Finally, hang on. Finally, you must desire this level of friendship with God. Otherwise, you won't get it. Intimate friendship with God is a choice, not an accident. You must intentionally strive for it. And in 1973, we met two young girls from Wickton, Angela and Jane Clark. They came to our home and shared their faith in God in a way that made me think they were in love with him. They had a friend relationship with him. And that was so attractive to Shira and I. And we'd been Christians. I'd been a Christian all my life. I'd never, ever saw God in that light. And I wanted it. I wanted that friendship that they had. And off we went to Spree 73 with a group of young people from Carlisle on the coach. And I can remember saying to Sheila, whatever this is that I'm lacking, and I realised I lacked something, it was this relationship with God, this friendship with God. I says, I'm going to get it in Earl's Court, where the conference was held, and I'm going to stay there, even if I have to lock myself in the toilets. I'm going to get it. And sure enough, when we came back from that holiday, that time, that conference, our lives were changed. We knew what was missing and we knew what we wanted. And I said to Sheila, we can never, ever be the same again. And it was this walk with God that we longed for. And I said to Sam Stockdale's boys, and there's our Jenny. She'll know them. In fact, I think he had a notion for one of them once over. I said to him, gosh, that was some conference. He says, I never got anything from it. And then I asked somebody else, oh, I got nothing from it. And then about 10 years later, I met a Baptist minister from Kirby Stephen who had been in the conference with me. I said, God, that was some conference. He says, it was a waste of time. And I've come to the conclusion that there was only Sheila and I that were moved, that were changed, because we wanted it. Brothers and sisters, this sixth secret is the most important of them all. If you want this dynamic, exciting adventure with God throughout the day, you've got to yearn for it. Bible says, if you seek me and you find me, if you seek me with all your heart. Gosh, I'm getting through with it. I thought it was going to take me an hour. So here we are. This is the summary of these six secrets. It's constant conversation with God through the day. Not just coming to church once a week. It's talking to him. Bringing him into everything you do. Bathing the baby. Changing the nappy, Jonathan. Everything you do, bring him into it so that there's not such a thing as a mundane exercise. Everything becomes an exciting adventure with God. Secondly, we must ruminate his promises to us throughout the day, like a cow chews the cud. Thirdly, we must choose to be honest with God and be humble enough to know when we make mistakes and to say sorry, so that we might enjoy the liberating fulfillment of forgiveness. And that's applicable to the human relationship and the divine. We must choose to obey God even when things go wrong and say, thank you for trusting me for this. We must choose to value what God values, and we must desire this friendship more than anything else in the world. Now then, wouldn't it be, one day we're all going to die. Come on now, I'm not telling any secrets out of school. One day we'll all die. And one day there'll be a Thanksgiving service for each one of us. And people will come to the microphone and say this and that about each other. Wouldn't it be wonderful if what was said about us was, there goes a person who was like Abraham, who was a friend of God's. Or wouldn't it be wonderful if they said, there goes a person like David, a man after God's own heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they said at our Thanksgiving service, there goes someone like Enoch, who knew how to walk with God. Everything you do can be spent spending time with God if you invite him to be a part of it and you stay aware of his presence. And here's the final thought. Knowing and loving God as our friend is our greatest privilege. And being known and loved by you is God's greatest pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.